Well, today we're going to be talking to you about the marvelous subject of prayer. And if people would do more praying and less fussing, their lives would be certainly different, wouldn't they?
Yes, and it of course, Darren, is the highest privilege
that
a Christian has, that a believer has, is to have communion with their Creator. I don't know of any other religion in the whole world where you can commune with God like Christians can. But we neglect it so much of the time. It's like you say, we get in a tight pinch or a pressured situation, and we're wringing our hands and calling somebody and going over and over the problem instead of going to God for the answer.
Well, we're going to be talking. In fact, we would title this message, Prayer That Gets Results. And Barbara, I've seen so many people that would come to us and say, now, Darren, I've called all the prayer lines in the country. We've got all our church praying. We got, you know, I want to say, what good is that going to do? And I remember I was in a church service one night where a young mother had been diagnosed as having MS. And the pastor, in total frustration, said, well, we want to pray for this couple. In fact, the gentleman and his wife knelt at the altar. And he said, I want you to all, from the back to the front, you lay hands on the person in front of you, because we never know who may have the faith in here.
Well, I think that's good. I mean, if you're a denominational church, if you're a denominational church and you don't have, you know, the revelation on prayer, that's a great way of doing it.
But let me tell you the rest of the story.
Well, she was healed, wasn't
she? She was healed. And then walking out of the church somewhere, people said, boy, we were really lucky, weren't we?
Well, that's all the light they have, Darren.
I know. A slap in the face of God.
God. I'll tell you, though, she was healed.
She was healed, and she's still healed.
And we're going to be talking about that in this series that we've got. This is a message that we've had for a long time, and Darren, I really felt like we needed to update because God has given you and me so much more on prayer. What we really need to do here is talk about what is the definition of prayer. And I went right to Noah Webster's definition. And prayer means to prostrate or to kneel. And one of the Greek words for prayer is 4336 in the Strong's Concordance. And it means prosukome. It is the word prosukome. And it means to pray, to make a vow, implying praying to God, whether for obtaining of good or averting of evil. And this word carries with it the fact that it's a word that's motion. It's an action word. Prayer is always an action word.
I think one of the interesting things about Noah Webster is he was a very godly man. And he used many biblical references in his original Webster's Dictionary to explain words and what they meant. And so I'm glad that you went to Noah Webster. I think that is awesome. And it really is. We're praying to God, whether there's something that we need or to avert evil. And I think that's an excellent definition.
Well, one thing in this prostrating or kneeling is we see that we are the servant. We are praying to the master. We are humbling ourselves, and we are saying, we can't make this on our own, Father God. We can't do this on our own. So we're looking to you for help. That's really, prayer is just talking with God, having a conversation with our best friend.
And I'd like to say this, some of our listeners aren't really skilled in prayer yet. I believe they will be in time. But you know, they say, well, I don't pray those wonderful prayers that I hear in church and that kind of, but it's what you just said, it's conversation with God, and it really is an action word. Prayer is really an action word. It's words in motion. Prayer is thanks and asking and requesting, and it's special or specific things that we need from the Lord. And, you know, I enjoy going to God because he's the only one that can do it many times. I can't even do it myself if I tried.
Yes. Basically, prayer is a petition to change things. You don't like how your life is going. You don't like something in your life. So you're going to the higher power, the mighty power, the almighty God. And we used to have a little sign on our church in the 50s, prayer changes things. And we still hear that phrase, prayer changes things. It really does. When we have prayer connected with faith, it truly does change things.
Well, I think it's awesome. And when you have some scripture inside of you, and this is a new revelation for me, and it shouldn't be, but it is. When you have some of the Word of God inside of you, you've memorized it or you've read it, with that Word comes His faith. Mm-hmm. And we can have faith in His faith that He's going to do what He said He's going to do.
Oh, yes, Yes.
I think that's awesome. And I think right here at the beginning, we need to tell people how to come to Jesus.
Well, our friends who are growing in the Lord, and you know, you've got to be a Christian if you're going to get this tape or this CD called Prayers that Get Results. Because most of the time, worldly people, they've never prayed. They've never prayed in their life to anybody. They are self-sufficient and they are proud. And so they're just going to go like a bull and just go through the thing and charge through and try to get results on their own. But as a born-again believer, you need to know how to bring your loved ones and your friends to the Lord. And that's why we are making the number one point here, a confession of faith for salvation. That's being born again. That's asking the Lord to forgive our sins and announcing that we're going to serve Him. And Darren, it's coming out of that kingdom of darkness that we've been living in, that we were born in, into that kingdom of absolute marvelous light. And Jesus Himself said, "I am the light of the world." And so I believe that it would be really important if you give a prayer of salvation right here, and I will follow, and our friends can then go back and review this every once in a while. Well, how do I lead this person to the Lord? Well, you listen to this, and it'll show you how to do it. It'll demonstrate to you how to do it.
Well, you know, we've had several Power Partners and listeners say, you know, my mother or my father is near death, and they're not a Christian. And I said, well, do you know how to lead them to the Lord? Well, not really. And so we would instruct them like we're doing now. Say, here's how you do that. And I'm going to take a scripture that says in Romans 10, verse 8, 9, and 10. I'll read it. It says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we're preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And I've said to them, you could just read these three verses here. And some of them have said, you know, my dad is in a coma and he can't talk. Well, could he squeeze your hand? Could he give you some recognition that he heard what you were saying? We've had many people lead their loved ones and people they cared about to the Lord on their deathbed by taking this very simple process. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that He is Lord? And, you know, it doesn't take a whole explanation of what faith is. If they just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and most people do believe that, they can get saved.
Well, in the confession with our mouth, Darren, there's two steps here. It is repenting. And Romans 10 doesn't specifically talk about repentance, but it says confession with your mouth. And in that confession with your mouth, you are saying, I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And that needs to be explained, because when John the Baptist came to the Jordan River, he said, repent. That's changing from what you've been doing, turning totally around from what the direction you've been going, and you go follow Jesus. So that's repenting is the first step. And making Jesus your Lord and Savior is a second step, really, in the prayer of repentance and being born again, being born from above, as John 3 tells us. And Jesus said that everyone has to pray that prayer in order to enter eternal life. So I would appreciate if maybe...
Well, I think in verse 10, let me say this. It says, with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Mm. So it really is a process of the mouth and the heart. And it's not hard. That's what we've got to tell you. It's not hard. And if you talk to your friends and you say to you, sometimes I just get real down basic with people. Say, have you ever done anything wrong? Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, who hasn't? Well, that's true. Everybody has sinned. I said, well, that's called sin.
Yeah, the word is all have sinned
all
and
have
come
sinned.
Short
that's
of the glory
right.
of God. All. That little word all
and
means
do you,
all.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah, I believe that. I said, well, let me pray for you, and then you pray what I pray, and I pray a very simple prayer, and they pray, and they get saved. 99.9% of the time,
yeah.
That's what happens.
There are some actors, there are some fakers, but I'll tell you, it's very few that don't really truly mean that they need somebody. They need somebody to guide them in this life.
And they know that life is way beyond what they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Father God, I just thank you that we can pray the sinner's prayer here. We can give an example to our friends and our power partners of how to pray, how to lead somebody to Jesus. So, Father God, the prayer goes like this. Father God, I have been a sinner. I've done a lot of things that are wrong. I want to change the course of my life, but I can't do it on my own. So I'm asking you to give me a new heart and a fresh start. I have sinned. I don't want to sin anymore, and I want to turn to you, and I need a new heart. And thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.
Amen. Now, when you lead a friend, you can say, follow me in this prayer. And you can start like Darren says, Father God, in Jesus' name. And then they say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I admit I am a sinner. And then they can say, I admit I am a sinner. I have lived in the kingdom of darkness. And have them follow along in a prayer. And then, because they don't know zip. I mean, you're going to find out that when you're leading somebody to the Lord Jesus, they haven't practiced this. They have no idea. And so you're going to have to be the leader here, which is so wonderful. And that they're a sinner, and they want to have a change of heart. Like Darren says, they want to have a fresh start in life.
You know, I've led a number of people to the Lord, and some of them, more than a few, have said this: I always wanted to know how to do that, but nobody ever told me.
Yeah.
And so don't think that there are everybody out there resisting you, because they're not.
That's right.
Because the Holy Spirit has gone ahead of you, and he has prepared their heart for the circumstance when you're going to be there to lead them to Jesus.
Yes, I remember our friend Gail. Her father, when she was back there in Michigan, she asked him if he would like to pray the sinner's prayer, not knowing that a month later he was going to die. She said it was so sudden for all of us. We had no idea. But she said, I was so thankful that he prayed the sinner's prayer. And that, boy, if you feel an urgency in your heart to pray with your friend or to pray with an acquaintance or with a loved one before you leave them, you know, like at Thanksgiving or Christmas, don't pass that opportunity up, friend. It might be the last time you see them.
Well, we did a thing the other night where we went out, our neighbors asked us to go out to dinner. And he is a Methodist and she's Jewish.
And who has never?
She doesn't even know what the Jews believe, but anyway.
No.
So just before we ate, the food had been put on the table in front of us. And I said, hey, would you mind if we pray? And they said, oh, no. So I prayed a prayer that God would bless the food. It would sanctify the food. And I said, amen. And then the lady said to Barbara, do you guys pray over every meal? I said, yes. Because we don't know who's been handling the food in the kitchen.
Especially when you go out.
Right.
Now, you know I've been handling the food in the kitchen when we eat at home, but we still pray. We thank him. And we're going to cover that when we get into the New Testament part of this teaching, why we should pray before we eat.
Well,
that's so important.
Even this morning, all we had was grapefruit because we were in a hurry, and so we didn't eat the cereal. We didn't eat anything else. But we still prayed over the grapefruit.
Yeah, bless it. That's right.
Bless this food, and thank you for this day.
Yes. Well, the first point we made was that that is a prayer of being born again. And the second point in prayer is that it is a plea for help and a change in circumstances. This is a cry for deliverance. And where do we go to look for this? One of the books that we have read during our a year of reading in the Word Power is Job. And we know that Job was in dire straits. He needed a miracle. Who did he go to? There was no one else but God. He didn't have a hospital on every other corner. He couldn't call a doctor. When he had boils covering his body, all he could do was talk to God. And so Job 16:17 says, although there's no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my advocate is on high. So he prayed to God, and you know that when he prayed for his friends, and they brought an offering to him, that God turned the whole circumstance around, and Job was totally healed.
Well, not only that, the Lord gave him a double blessing at the end.
Oh, he did. He really did. Praise God. We find in 1 Samuel 1 that Hannah wanted a child more than anything else, and Peninnah had children by Hannah's husband, but Hannah never had one, so she went and prayed, and we know that Eli thought she was drunk, but she was so earnest in her prayer. She was probably crying. She was down on her knees. She was praying to God for a child, and you know what Eli said. Well, at this time next year, you will have a son, and her son was Samuel, and she gave Samuel to the Lord. as an offering to the Lord. And then she had five other children. But her first child, can you imagine, her first child was to the Lord. And her prayer, Darren, is such a supernatural prayer. I just want to read part of it. Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults and triumphs in the Lord. My horn, my strength is lifted up in the Lord. My mouth is no longer silent, for it is opened wide over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like you, Lord. There is none besides you. There is no rock like our God." What a marvelous and powerful prayer this precious lady had.
Now, she gave us really a copy that we can follow. And many times, and this lady was absolutely desperate. She wanted a child. She was barren. And yet she told God who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And many times when we pray, we need to say, "You're the holy, the righteous one. You're the almighty God of heaven and earth." And then get into our request.
Yes.
And then finish up our prayer, much like David did. And then finish it up with praise and worship. And you know, I believe that's a brilliant copy. So first of all, we praise God for who he is and what he's about. And then we present our need or our petition. And then we ended up by thanking God for who he is.
Well, and we're going to cover this right now because we're going to talk about David. David is the greatest example for prayer that you can find in the whole Bible. And as you go to the Psalms, and I pray that some of you who are just starting reading the Bible, you'll read a psalm a day and a proverb a day, because that is going to really help you grow in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord.
Now, the only problem I have with what you said that people just started reading the Bible.
Well,
how about people who've been around for a long time?
Okay,
they need to follow that same practice, get a psalm and a proverb every day.
That's true. That's absolutely true, and I agree with that. But if you are just starting, man, those two books are some of the greatest things that you can gain in the Lord. Now, Psalm 6, verse 9, David is praying here as he's being pursued by King Saul. Now, David has been anointed by Samuel to be Israel's next king, but Saul is chasing him. He wants him dead or alive. And so David is looking here to God for strength. And in Psalm 6, 9, he says, "The Lord has heard my supplication." Now, this word supplication is number 8467 in the Hebrew. It's a prayer heard with favor and mercy. See, David is calling on God not only for mercy to save him from this evil king, but he's also asking for favor to surround him. That's one thing you can ask in your prayers, friend. Lord, give me favor in this situation. I need it.
Now, if I put this in the modern vernacular, I would say Saul had put a contract on his life. I want that guy dead or alive, but I want him captured.
Yes.
And really, I want him dead. So you can see why there was such an urgency for David to pray. "I'm in a terrible fix, Lord, and you're the only one that can save my life."
That's right. Then the greatest psalm, and almost everybody knows this psalm, is Psalm 23. And this is, he's also fleeing from King Saul here when he says these wonderful, peaceful, quiet words. And Darren, I know his life was not peaceful or quiet. His surroundings weren't. But I know his spirit was. He made his spirit quiet in the Lord, even though he was being chased all the time. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Now, where Saul was chasing him, there were not still waters and green pastures. Where Saul was chasing him was a wilderness area, very lack of water. And we're going to find out in this next scripture that when he cries out and says, "God, you are my God, earnestly will I seek for you. I thirst for you in a dry and barren land." This is Psalm 63, Darren, and he's being pursued by King Saul, and yet he's saying these wonderful words, "God, I know you're going to take care of me." And we're going to listen to these words in song, Psalm 63, "God, you are my God."
I thirst for you in a dry and barren land. So I look to you to see your power and your glory. Your love for me is far better than my life. So I will bless you every day as long as I have breath to say. You are my God, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice, will I rejoice. God, you are my God, and with your right hand you uphold me. My King of Kings, forever I will praise your name. So I will bless you every day as long as I have breath to say. You are my God, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice, God, you are my God, and with your right hand you uphold me. My King of Kings, forever I will praise your name.
God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek for you. I thirst for you in a dry and barren land. So I look to you to see your power and your glory. Your love for me is better than my life. So I will bless you every day as long as I have breath to say, you are my God, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice.
You know, David was in such a wonderful place with his God that he actually could say in a very, you know, I have never been wanted dead or alive. Darren, we've been in some real pressure situations in our life, you know, in our marriage and all that with, you know, creditors when we were first married, but never in a situation where it was dead or alive. And David here is saying, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice, because, Lord, I know that there is where I'm going to be safe. Now, another prayer that David gave was Psalm 55:1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide thyself from my supplication, from my request, as he says. Give heed to me and answer me. I'm restless in my complaint and am surely distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Now, David knew exactly how God looked at his prayer and his requests. And he had assurance God was going to bless him.
You know, at one point, David was so frustrated, he said to God, incline your ear to me. Lean down here. Don't stay on your throne just being passive. Lean down here and answer my prayer. And I think when we get really desperate, we will talk like that to God. Say, don't blow me off here. I mean, yes. We talk really like we talk every day. Don't blow me off. I need you to hear my prayer, and I need you to answer my prayer, and I need you to do it now.
That's
I mean, if we're serious.
That's so good, Darren, because, yes, like Job. Job said, God, I wish I'd never been born. He was in such pain. But it says he never sinned. He never sinned against God. So, Darren, we can see there that God wants us to test him prove him.
It does say this in the book of Job. He never sinned with his mouth.
Yes.
And, you know, that's usually where we sin. You know, it's our mouth and then our heart. And usually our mouth teaches our heart. So you want to make sure that your words are pure and that you don't get into blasphemy. And it's real easy to do.
But you can still test God
by
not and not sin. And like Darren was saying, God, listen to me. Incline your ear.
Okay, now I call that contending with God.
All right.
It's like you have a good friend and, you know, they're not as serious as you are about the situation. And you reach over and you grab them by the collar. And you just say, now listen to me. And you get right up in their face. I believe God wants us to do that. I believe he wants us to contend with him. And we do that by saying, this is what your word says. Are you going to keep it or are you going to break it? Mm-hmm. I'm in a desperate corner here. And God, I can't get out of this mess without you. You've got to help me now.
Oh,
I don't need the answer next year or next month. I need it today. And I believe when we get that desperate with God, we say, now, based on your word, I believe your word. I've got your word in my heart, but based on your word, you've got to act on my behalf.
Yes, and the greatest concern on God's heart is not the problem that we have up here. It's our reaction to that problem.
That's right, our attitude.
And he wants us at peace and knowing that we're trusting in him to take care of this problem. You know, it says in Peter wrote so vividly, casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. He doesn't want you carrying that care and saying, oh, I'll take care of it, Lord, but I need you to help me. He wants you to throw that totally on him.
But you know, the way we do that, Barbara, is to bring his word to him, and that's called calling him to remembrance. And you become a remembrancer, which they did in the Old Testament. And sometimes it said, God, remember who you are. Mm-hmm. Remember your character here. Your character is to take care of your children. I'm one of your children, and I need you to move on my behalf now. And I'm coming to you based on your reputation in the Word. You know, when we call him to attend to his Word and to say, this is who you are, and we're not talking to somebody that we don't know. You are my Heavenly Father, and I need you to act on my behalf. And here's the Word that says all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 9:23, one of my favorites. I'm a believer, Lord. I believe that your word is in my heart. Your faith is in your word. Therefore, I'm a faith person. I'm a person of faith, and I need you to move on my behalf because I believe.
Oh, praise God. That's so important, Darren, that we stay in absolute peace and trust no matter what the situation. And even Dave said in David, I keep saying Dave, God bless him. David, King David said, and he wasn't a king yet, but he said in Psalm 55, verse 17, evening and morning and noon, I will speak loudly and the Lord will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. We're going to have battles, friend. We're going to have challenges in our lives, but it's so important that you keep a heart of peace in every situation. That's the biggest, you know, Darren, that is the biggest battle of all.
You know, really, when we're hurting in our body or we're hurting financially or whatever, what we're looking for is peace. And you know, God can give us peace before that bill is paid or before that pain is gone, before the thing that's attacked our bodies is really totally gone. God can give us peace. And that's our assurance that he is on the throne, that he's looking after our situation, that he's heard our prayer. And really, many times what we're saying is, if I could just have peace. I don't need a bunch of material things right now. Lord, in my heart, inside, this inside deal, I need peace. I need to know, confirmed by you, that it's going to work out, that I will be totally healed or I will be totally debt-free.
Yes, delivered.
Those
yes.
seem to be two of our big problems today, but, you know, we can ask God for that. And it goes on to say God will hear and answer the prayers, and the one who sits enthroned from an old is going to hear your prayer. Mm-hmm. He's there.
Yes.
He doesn't take a day off, and he doesn't unplug his telephone.
That's right. He
He's
sure
always
doesn't.
There.
He really
and he
is.
Will hear your crying. I'll tell you, you can go to him, and the code word is Jesus. Lord God, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I need you to answer my prayer, and I need peace. because I'm in turmoil. Mm-hmm. I'm all shook up. I don't know which way to turn. These things are assaulting my mind and my emotions and my body. Would you please help me? And when we cry out with an honest heart like that, saying, God, I know that you can do this, and you're, by the way, the only one that can do this, please move on my behalf, and I believe you are.
Well, he's got a great track record.
He does.
You know, as you look into the Word of God, God has a great track record. And as, you know, I believe in this, keeping a journal, Darren, because our friends, they get answers from God all the time, but it seems like we forget the high points in our life, and we're always down in that old pit, just always being challenged by in one crisis after another. And having a journal and keeping answers to prayer in front of you so that you can go over them and saying, yes, he met my need here and on this date.
You know, just
so
yesterday
important.
He told me, he said, you can never ask me a question that I can't answer.
<That's>
He has the answer for us.
He really does.
Well, God bless you. We're going to pick this up here in just a little bit. Well, praise God, Barbara. We're going to 2 Chronicles 7, verse 12. And this is a portion of Scripture that I absolutely love, so I'll let you pick it up from there.
Oh, you love, so you're going to let me do it.
Yes.
We've been talking about prayer is a can be a plea for help or a change in circumstances, a plea for a change in circumstances, really a deliverance in people's lives. And when Solomon, who was David's son who was chosen to be king after him, when he had this absolutely overwhelming job of looking after this nation of people, he went to God, and his prayer was for wisdom. The Lord said, I've heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. Solomon's prayer was for wisdom, Darren, to lead his people. And God answered him by giving him not only the wisdom and knowledge he asked for, but also all the riches and honor. And I believe when we ask for spiritual answers in our lives, God's going to follow that with everything we need. And where I get the proof of that is in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God, seek him and his righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, all those wonderful attributes of God. And all these things in this world, all these tactile things that you're asking for, will be answered for you. It will be added to you. So what you need to ask God for are spiritual things that you need in your life to build you up, to keep you stable. And that's what Solomon did, Darren. He asked for wisdom to rule this people, and God gave him everything.
But, you know, these answers, first of all, come into our hearts before they come into the natural. And that's why we need to get acquainted with the spirit world, the laws of the spirit, the ways of the spirit. You know, we're more spirit than anything else. Sometimes we don't think so, but we are, because we're made in the image and likeness of God. So as we pray and we build up our faith, and, you know, one reason my faith has increased is I have seen him come through for me so many times. And, you know, he comes through more quickly when we're standing on the Word. Now, I've had him speak to me in a rhema voice, where now when I read the Bible, I'm reading off the page, I'm reading the Logos. But, you know, as you walk closer and closer to the Lord, he'll start speaking to you and you'll start hearing him accurately. And that's a wonderful place to get to, and that's where we'd like to see you, our friends and partners, get to, is where you can pray and God can speak to you and you can hear him in a reliable way and stand on what he tells you to do. Now, I've had times when I knew I had the Logos, I knew I had the promise in the printed word, but also had the promise in my heart from what he was speaking to me. And then I got to the point where I was saying to him, now, listen, you said that you would do this for me. Now, you have two choices, Lord, and this is when I'm contending with the Lord. You can either keep your word or break it. Now, which is it? And most people say, oh, my gosh, I could just never do that. Why? I couldn't press God that hard. Why? You know, well, now, wait a minute. Don't you think he can take it?
Well, we know already he's not a liar.
He's not a liar.
That he should lie.
That's right.
And he will keep his word.
And he's not a wimp. He's not going to wimp out and say, well, I'm changing the rules. You know I said that, but there's a new deal. He does not do that. He says, I will never break my covenant. In fact, I think he says at one point in Scripture, if you can change the night and the day, then I'll break my covenant. Well, nobody can change when the sun comes up, when sun goes down. Mm. We all know that. Well, you have to stand on absolutes, and God is trying to get all of us through faith to get into absolutes of Scripture.
Yes.
To say, well, God, this is your character. You can't just get up one day and change the rules because you're having a bad day. He never does that. He's always, I'll tell you what I like about God. One thing I like about him, he's always the same today, tomorrow, forever. And he says, my word is alive.
Yes.
It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, then we can stand on it. We can stand on the promises today, tomorrow, next week, next year, and know that he's going to come through according to what his character is and his nature explained in Scripture.
And I really believe, Darren, that is the bottom line of prayer, to know that God will never leave you or forsake you, that he is who he says he is, and the word has been tried and true. You can take any verse in this Bible and stand on it, knowing God will perform that word for you. And that is where our Christian friends need to be. That is where you as a believer needs to be. You can never question those two things in your life. If you call yourself a believer, you never question God, who he is, and what he can do for you, and you never question the word.
And you need to know that God is for us. It says in Romans 8, verse 31, what then can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Mm-hmm. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril or sword? God is always there. In other words, there's no pit too deep. God is always going to be there.
That's right.
And he's always the same, and I love that. I love the absoluteness of God, because so many things we have in the natural world are subject to change. You know,
yes.
Well, the rules are one way one time, and then somebody comes along and they've got more authority, or they got a different idea, and all the rules change. And that's really hard.
Yes. We're talking about King Solomon, but you were talking about there's never a pit too deep. And I have to go back to Psalm 40. That's one of King David's Psalms. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He leaned over. He was listening to me. He's my Abba Daddy. He's my father. And he drew me out of an horrible pit. Out of a pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, the slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall put their trust and confidence in the Lord. So as he's delivering you, friend, he will put a new praise song in your lips, and you need to go with it. You can't go back to where you were. As God's delivering you from one crisis to another, you're going to become a stronger and stronger person. You cannot go back where you were. There is no way you can do that.
You know, I think sometimes we need to force ourselves to laugh at the devil, right? Now, the devil's face. Now, the other day we saw a report on television where a young mother and a young father, a young couple, were having problems with their son, and he was starting into a seizure. And this mother started laughing at the devil.
Yes.
She just started laughing and giggling and cackling and whatever. And
here's her son on the floor having a seizure. Now, most of us would be gripped with fear. We would be overcome with anxiety and all kinds of frustration because we cannot help our child. Have to call emergency, 911. That's what most people do. But this precious lady, she started laughing at the devil. You think you have the answer here, devil? You think you're going to keep my son in this? Forget you. God is delivering him. And after that seizure, not one more seizure. He's now a wonderful young man. He plays the drums. That's wonderful. Well, if you get into a situation, try laughing.
See, I believe this. If we know who our God is, what the devil's trying to do is a laughing matter.
Absolutely.
And many times I think that's what we need to do. In fact, I heard a doctor one time that told his patient, he said, I want you to get some Laurel and Hardy, or I want you to get something, you know, maybe it's the one where the kids used to have the dog and they made everybody laugh, and get something and force yourself to laugh. Mm-hmm. Laughter is good medicine, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think we ought to just say, devil, you're so stupid. This is a laughing matter. And we ought to just start forcing our laughter, and then pretty soon the real stuff comes, you know.
That's true. Well, getting back to King Solomon, he asked God for wisdom and knowledge, and God gave him that plus riches and honor. And what a wonderful time in this young king's life. God told him in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and we've seen this on many patriotic signs and in many books written by politicians, Christian politicians, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray," that word pray is in there, friend, "and seek my face and turn from their sin," or turn from their wicked ways, "then will I hear from heaven," God promises that, "forgive their sin," God promises that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive, "and heal their land." And Darren, that's a prayer that most of us know, a lot of Christian evangelists know and quote that often, and it's a prayer I believe we should have all the time. Father God, I ask you, as we humble ourselves before you, Father God, as a nation of people, that you will forgive our sin and heal our land. And Darren, as I see this Roe versus Wade almost being overturned here, I mean, the momentum now is for it to be overturned, and there's a lot of flack going on, but I believe as God sees our determination in overthrowing this law of abortion, that he will forgive that sin, even though there have been millions of babies that have died under this law, that he will heal our land. Praise God.
No, I think we need to make that even more personal. Heal my family. Heal my business. Heal my body. See, I think when we say heal our land, true, that's almost a national thing or an international thing.
But our boundaries can also be that.
Exactly.
Yes,
I want
dominion.
You to heal my household. My household's a mess. My kids are a mess. My finances are a mess. I need you to come in here, Lord, and I'm looking to you. I'm humbling myself, and I am called by your name, Lord. I'm called a Christian or a believer. I need you to come in here and heal my situation, and God will do that.
As you have said, Darren, and when you pray to God, "Lord, if there's anything between me and you, I ask that you reveal it to me so I can repent or confess of this sin," because God is not going to answer prayers when there is sin in our lives. So I believe that's a good thing to talk to God about. "Lord, if there's anything in my life that does not please you."
Well, I think we can look at our imagination. And some people have grown up imagining God to be a meanie, imagining him to be unfair, that he's playing some kind of a game with you, that he enjoys seeing you losing or seeing you in pain or suffering, and that God is the author of disease and disaster. I believe that we need to stop and say, "God, would you go through my imagination and clean it up? Because I imagine the wrong things about you," which means I meditate the wrong things,
yes,
which then I'm cross-current with getting answers to prayer because my imagination is a mess. And I've lived with fear. Now, when we practice fear, what we're doing is we're calling the devil into our circumstances. And we just can't do that. We can't bow to the fear, which is of the devil, and let that run our lives. And if that's been your case, ask God to forgive you for the sin of fear over and over and over. Ask him to cleanse your imagination and give you some new habits. You need new habits of thought,
yes,
about yourself and your circumstance, and God can do that.
Yes. As we humble ourselves, God hears from heaven. He forgives our sin, and he heals your dominion where you are. That's so important to know, friend. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, prayer, we've gone through prayer for being born again, prayer for deliverance, changing our circumstances, pressure in our life. Now, number three, prayer is praise to God. You can't forget that, friend. Prayer is not just a gimme, gimme, gimme. Prayer is a giving back to God, a praise to God. "God, I just love you so much, and I just want to praise you. I love you, Lord, my God, my strength, my solid rock, my fortress, deliverer, in whom I seek refuge." And that's Psalm 18, 1 through 3. But the one we want to go through right now, and I had put that on my CD, Darren, Psalm 16, 11. "In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." We'd like you to listen to this praise song.
your pleasures abound. You have shown me the pathway of life. My flesh dwells securely in you, O Holy One. I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, he teaches me in the night. I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand. I'll not be shaken. I'll not be moved. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoices, in goodly places lines are drawn. You have given me my inheritance, there's no good besides thee. You are my portion, you are my
think about that. My flesh dwells securely. That's an awesome, awesome statement. I thank you so much for that CD number, Barbara.
It really is. And then there's a portion of that song, in goodly places lines are drawn. What does that mean? Well, it means that when we get out of the negative and we look as our dominion, you know, and each of us have our own little dominion, our own little space God's given to us. When we look at that in a good way, in an always positive way, God's going to add line upon line, precept upon precept. He's going to give us a good inheritance. He's going to let our dominion be in pleasant places instead of in the pit. And Darren, that's so important to realize.
You know, we need to stop and meditate on this phrase that says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." You need to meditate on greatness, meditate on power. Next, glory, and the victory and majesty.
Mm-hmm.
We're saying, God, you're it. You're number one over all of these things.
That's
that
right.
You have the greatness and the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. And then we talk about dominion. Your dominion, O Lord, is over all the earth. Now, we need to get that really down in our hearts and know that God's dominion is there. But, you know, he's also downloaded that to us to have dominion on the earth because he has it.
Absolutely. The rest of that scripture, and this is David's last prayer to God. Now, he was just about to go to heaven. He'd been king of Israel. He was old. He needed a maid beside him because he was always cold. And so they found a fair maiden in the land. He was too old. He couldn't have sex with her anymore. She was just meant to keep him warm. and she was there in bed with him. They didn't have the comforts we have today, but this was his last prayer.
He didn't have an electric blanket.
He didn't have an electric blanket. No, he did not. And he comes to this last time in his life, and what does he do? He praises God. He praises God. He doesn't get full of fear. He doesn't, you know, so many old people, when they get to that point of death, they're just so fearful, and they're cranky, and they're, I just don't want to die. He was saying, both riches and honor come from thee, O Lord, and in thy mighty hand are power and might. And you'll find that wonderful prayer in 1 Chronicles 29:11 and 12. What a wonderful prayer. I would challenge you to memorize that prayer so that you can say, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. Your dominion, O Lord, is over all the earth. We exalt you as head over all.
Praise now, I think when you do that, Barbara, you're putting words out there in your space.
Yes, in your dominion.
And you're proclaiming that God is number one. And you're saying, my problem here that I've got today is really way down the list.
Mm-hmm.
And God can handle it because he is the greatest. He has the power, and he can take care of it.
Yes. Now, we're talking about prayers that praise God. We cannot talk about this in the Old Testament without including 2 Chronicles 20. Darren, one of your favorite stories, and this includes absolute praise to God.
Well, there were three nations after Jehoshaphat and his people, and they were in fear. They thought, we're going to be gobbled up. They're going to kill us. They're going to rape our women. They're going to haul us off to another land. They're going to burn down our village, burn down our temple. They're going to do total destruction. But he got a prophecy through a layperson that says, now listen, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourself and stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out and face them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head. And then here's what he had the people do. He had the singers, of all things, which sounds so ludicrous, so ridiculous, to send the choir out there in front of the army.
I know. I mean, who would do that?
They weren't warriors.
Who would do that?
So he sent them out there, and they said, we praise the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. Now, we're giving you another confession here that you could say. You get up, and all hell is broken loose at your house. I mean, everything is going south. I mean, it couldn't be more messed up if you'd have tried. And then if you'd get up and say, I praise the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting, you do exactly what the choir did out there in front of the army. Now, the enemy was confounded. They turned around, these three nations. They fought each other, killed each other.
Yes.
Now, the only one that could put them into that kind of confusion is the Lord God and his angels.
Yes.
Now, we're saying this to you. If you will take your situation, maybe you got a ton of bills, maybe you've got all kinds of medical problems, or maybe your kids are sick or whatever, lay it on the table in front of you and then start saying, I praise the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. Say it over and over and over until you have peace and victory in your heart.
Absolutely.
And it will work.
It will. Praise God. That is one of the most, that's one of the greatest victories. I believe the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 of them overnight, and they were gathering spoil for 3 days, Darren. And here was the singers. They had no idea what an army would do. They were singers in the temple. They didn't go out with the armor on.
No. And it says right here, and when they began singing and praising the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come up against Judah, so they were routed. God can rout your enemies. And many times the devil is trying to work through the finances, he's trying to work through sickness. He is your enemy, but God can send him running. He can turn tail. And I've seen in the spirit world when the demons took off and they went over the next hill and they were defeated. Because I was praising God.
Yes. So you can take this prayer, praise the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting, and put it in your own way, put it into a praise prayer so that when the pressure comes on, you can say, thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness endures forever. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, for your loving kindness endures forever. That's all they said as they marched to the enemy. That's what you can do to rout the devil in your life. He will. You submit to God. You resist the devil, as James says, and he will flee from you.
Now, I'm going to say this. You need to make a decision while you're still cool of head before you get into the soup. I'll say it that way. Before all hell breaks loose in your house, you need to decide. Now, if this ever happens, and you can almost guarantee that it's going to because the devil is faithful to come after you, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to write this down on a card, praise the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting. I'm going to pull it out and use it when all hell is breaking loose at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got to know this ahead of time when you're not all shook up and when you're not under all the pressure. God is bigger than your mess. He is bigger, and he knows how to handle it. But if you praise him, you start out saying, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to refigure the bills, refigure my budget 14 times. I'm going to get my Bible out, and I'm going to praise God. And I'll tell you another thing. If you will take communion, you will enter into such a victorious dimension that you'll be surprised. Sit down and take communion.
We're going to talk about that. We really are. We're going to spend the next hour talking about some of these wonderful revelatory things that God has given to you, Darren.
Well, I'll tell you, let's pray right now. Father, I just thank you for the privilege of prayer. You're such an awesome God, and you're always listening. You're always on the throne. You never take a vacation. You never sleep. You're always there for us. And no matter what language we bring to you, you understand that from all the points of the earth. So thank you for being such an awesome Heavenly Father and loving us so much. And Lord, today we presented this teaching on prayer, and we ask that you would bless it, and that our people would become prayer warriors, that they would pray and praise no matter what's going on. They would praise you because you deserve to be praised. We thank you, Father, for your word and for your Son Jesus and Holy Spirit, and that you're such an awesome teacher. We remind you that we know that we're the student and you're the teacher, so we're not going to get our roles mixed up. In the powerful name of your Son Jesus, amen.